for the rest of us, if you would turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. We're going to be reading verses 25 through 37. I want to talk to you today for a little while. We're going to have a shorter sermon, shorter service this morning. We're going to try to be done and out of here about 10:45. So we're going to be off to the races in this message, all right? Talk to you about being a good friend. Luke 10, 25-37. Beginning to read. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Let's pray again. Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we pray that our hearts and our minds would be open and receptive, literally fruitful for the seed of your word today. I pray, Lord, that you put a watch on my mouth this morning, that I would only speak the words you have ordained for me to speak this morning. Not a word more, a word less, and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage, Jesus gives us the parable of the Good Samaritan. Let's look at the background to the parable in verses 25 through 29. An insincere lawyer tested Jesus by asking him a dishonest question. The lawyer was religious, but he had no relationship with the Savior. He knew something about the law of God, but he had no real life in his heart. This man had no problem with the idea of loving God, but he did not want to love anyone he didn't have to love. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, it says, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his neighbor, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." Pretty sobering opening to a passage that deals with the topic that we're talking about. The parable of the Good Samaritan. It's a story of criminal inhumanity. you get right down to it, it's a story of criminal inhumanity. The man who fell among the thieves and was beaten and robbed is a picture of humanity going away from God, battered and robbed by the devil. It's a story of casual indifference. Let me explain. The priest represents religion with all its rituals. Realize religion without relationship is dead, right? Religion comes to nothing. Religion harms people. Relationship with the living God, namely Jesus Christ. He's the one that gives life, life to the full. The Levite represents religion with all its rules. We could get caught up in all of the rules of religion and also have no love in our heart. Look at our own lives with rose-colored glasses, as Joyce Myers would say. And look at everyone else through binoculars, judging everyone else. It's kind of, unfortunately, the world we live in. The life of the Apostle Paul attests to the fact that religion cannot save. Philippians 3, verses 4 through 8. Philippians 3, verses 4 through 8 says, though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regards to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. So Paul is saying, I have renounced everything from my old religious life. You understand? Paul was standing like this, apparently nodding and giving approval when Stephen was stoned to death. Of course, that was before he had his Damascus Road experience, right? And then he had his Damascus Road experience. Literally, he saw the light. He saw the light. I can relate to that. 42 years ago, I saw the light. So I can relate to that completely. He says, in regards to the law of Pharisee, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were committed to their system of religion. Am I making sense? They were very, very committed to their system of religion. But they didn't have relationship. That's why the Sadducees were Sadducee. It's the best I got today, I'm sorry. So, Paul says, I consider everything a loss. After he saw the light, after he had his Damascus Road experience, he said, I consider everything else a loss for the sake of Christ. He said, beyond all of this, I've learned what I need is Christ, and I want all of him. Galatians 3, 10 through 12. says, all who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Two people came down the road and saw this man that had been beaten, stripped, and robbed. Two people, religious people. One walked by on the other side of the road, didn't even want to get close. And the other walked by and did nothing. Guys, we clearly have this problem in our culture. I remember seeing, and this was a few years ago, this is not recent, but I remember seeing a few years ago a clip where someone was stabbed in one of the big cities in our country. I don't remember which one. But I was horrified as I watched this. And this person had been stabbed and was laying bleeding on the sidewalk in a big city. And the people were walking by on their phones and ignoring. One of the men, the street was busy, it's a big city, actually stepped over his body and just kept on going. Not one person even stopped to dial 911. On their phones. They didn't allow this horrific scene. This isn't some story I made up. This is something I saw. Maybe some of you remember seeing something. Or seeing it. It was a few years ago. But I was horrified. And from what I understand, it's the way it is. A lot of places in big cities. It happens all the time. And people just don't care anymore. It's sad. Jesus made it abundantly clear to this lawyer, we'll call him, what it was that he would have him to do after being asked. He said, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And the guy knew the answer. Which one of us will get involved and get our hands messy? We profess to be Christians, but are we willing to get our hands messy? Or get involved in a situation. See, we're living in a day where everyone is scared to get involved. Well, I might get sued. If I do CPR on them and I don't get it right, I might get sued by the family. Unfortunately, that's true. Okay? Unfortunately, that's true. But we're talking about human life. I personally think, you may agree, you may disagree, I think the devaluing of human life in this country began in 1973 when abortion became legal in this nation across the land. Thank God, federally, it has been rolled over. But they are fighting and fighting and fighting, and we'll fight relentlessly to try to get this rolled back. Not satisfied with it being kicked back to the states. Want it to be federal. Fighting, fighting, fighting with all of their being to get that reinstated. Meanwhile, with the devaluation of life In the womb comes the devaluation of the elderly. It follows suit. And beyond that, if you're not a vital part of society, we don't need you. Right? That is where this thing is heading. Very interesting that Jesus told this parable such as he did. Now understand, a priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. This was not just any general person, it was a priest. All right? Caught in the religious system. So too, a Levite, who came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. You all understand who the Levites were, right? The Levites were the ones that were responsible for all of the sacrifices and all the things that went on in the Old Testament. The Levites were the ones that were responsible for getting things right with the sacrifices and all that. So they had that all right. But a person that needs help, don't want to get involved. Surely not a good friend. Surely not a good person at all, really. A Samaritan is the one that came by and offered a helping hand, even laid out his own money, said to the innkeeper, "Take care of him. I'm going to be coming back through. When I do, I'm going to stop again, check on him, and if I owe you any more, I'll pay you that too." Now let me talk to you a minute about a Samaritan. See, Jews looked down on Samaritans, big time. They were mixed blood. Okay? So they were, if I can use this terminology, what they were was half-breeds. And because of that, they were looked down on for that. So very interesting that it was a Samaritan in Jewish eyes, the scourge of the earth, that had compassion on this person that was almost dead. I wonder how many times religious people in our culture walk on by instead of helping. I wonder how many of the people in that imagery I saw in a big city a few years ago, I wonder how many of those people were in church on Sunday that had walked right past this person that was laid bleeding out, stabbed, and didn't even care enough to call 911. I wonder. We can't answer that question. But you can speculate, with that many people going by, there was probably some of them that professed to be Christians. Don't want to get involved. Don't ask me to do anything. Don't want to get involved in it. Clearly we see that Jesus is not impressed with that attitude. Amen? The priest and the Levite, rather than being part of the solution, became part of the problem in the fact that they did nothing. They committed the sin of omission. We've got to be very careful that we don't commit the sin of omission. Loving our neighbor as ourself is not limited to the ones that we rub elbows with in church. See, friendship evangelism is one of the most powerful systems of evangelism there is. More people are led to Christ through friendships. Spending time with people that don't know Jesus. We've all got unsaved loved ones. We've all got unsaved people that we have contact with. Do we ever take the time? Because, see, without Christ, they're terminal. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because without Christ, we stand condemned already. Thank God Romans 8:1 clears it up for us that if we're in Christ, there is no condemnation. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But and thank God for that. But if that is true, that's an absolute truth in the Word of God. So then the absolute opposite of that truth is also truth. Which means if you are not in Christ, you stand condemned already. And so, when we don't care enough about people to at least try to open the door a little bit to talk to them and witness to them about Christ, we're walking by on the other side. Am I making sense? And see, time is running out, guys. We are living in the last days. It's not rocket science. We're living in the last days. How long that's going to go, I don't know. But we can see things progressing rapidly. If you've got your eyes open, you can see that things cannot continue for very long the way things are going, right? So we need to be, as believers, about the Father's business. And the Father's business is reaching the lost while there is yet time. It's not my responsibility to reach all of them. It's my responsibility to reach all of them I can. And I do, and I have. From the time I gave my life to Christ, my life has been about talking to people about Jesus. That's the absolute truth. And I exhort you. We all have circles of influence. I'm not trying to tell you, well, you need to get out and you need to knock on 50 doors every weekend. And I'm not doing that. That's legalistic. But we can all be people that have a testimony, and we testify of Christ within our circles of influence. If we all do that in our circles of influence, we'll evangelize the whole region. If we do that. I'm not trying to heap anything on anybody. I know there's a difference in people. I happen to be an extrovert. But there are introverts, and it's very, very hard for an introvert to strike up a conversation with somebody they don't know. I understand all of that. So I'm not trying to heap some heavy on people that struggle with that. But we can all do better. Amen? See, this story is of the Good Samaritan is a story of compassionate involvement. He got involved. Could have walked by just like everybody else. He could have walked by. After all, he was a Samaritan. Nobody expected anything good from him. He was the scourge of the earth as far as the Jews were thinking, Jewish thinking. But he cared about his brother, about humanity. See, the Good Samaritan is a picture of Jesus. And if we profess Jesus, then we have Jesus living in us, right? By the power of the Spirit. Jesus has genuine compassion. Genuine compassion. It's not something that's conjured up. It's not something that made him do something when crowds were around him to make himself look good. He went to a cross of shame to redeem lost humanity. He was obedient, and he went as a lamb to slaughter, we're told in the Word of God. He didn't do that to make a name for himself. He got involved because he could, and he had the goods to redeem lost humanity. He said, "You want to be right with God? Love your neighbor as yourself." Love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus had genuine compassion. Jesus also had gracious compassion. And Jesus has gentle compassion. We look at this parable that he's given us. We glean some of the things out of it that are drawn out of it today in this message. But please, 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 guys, don't let this be one of those days where you come to church and you hear a message and you leave and you say, "Yeah, it was all right," or whatever, or "That really wasn't very good." I don't know. Whatever you say when you leave here. Don't forget this passage. Don't forget this message. Guys, it is of vital importance that we get involved. I'm praying right now about what we maybe can do as a church financially to help these poor people out in the Southeast. Yes. These people are devastated. Yes. And guess what? What I'm about to tell you is the absolute truth. When they contacted FEMA, FEMA said they didn't have any money because they've been putting out billions of dollars to house and give phones to, and a whole list of things for illegals in our country. That's absurd. We have a FEMA that pours all of our money into that, and we have nothing to help our people that are a vital part of our culture and members of our nation, and we can't help them because we've spent everything. Guys, it's a sad day. That kind of ties into what we're talking about here, isn't it? That being said, I think we as believers need to start separating ourselves from the idea that the government's going to take care of us. Huh? I got a lot of response over here. You guys all right? Need a wake-up call center for woo! There you are! How about the back? You with me? These things should not be, guys. These things should not be. So we need to come to a place where we don't expect our government to take care of us. Biblically, we're supposed to be taking care of each other. And see, that ties into what we're talking about here today as well. We're supposed to take care of each other. I want us, Gateway Faith Fellowship, to be that kind of church.
Amen.
And I know we've been doing a good job, but there's always room for improvement, isn't there? So will you guys pray about what we could maybe end up doing as far as helping out in the Southeast? It's catastrophic. I'm going to get a hold of Scott Gardner that lives out there in Sevierville. I've already been in contact with him once, and he told me they're fine in Sevierville, but only 20 miles from them is total devastation. So I'm going to get a hold of them again and see if there's an avenue that we can legally funnel money where it'll all get to the people and not in somebody else's pockets. The other option we have is probably Samaritan's Purse. Okay. But I'm praying about this because I feel like we've been so blessed as a church. We need to get involved in however God leads in this. Raise your hand if you're agreeing with that. Praise God. Praise God. All right, let's make this a matter of prayer, and I know God's going to lead us. Will you stand with me? We're about out of time already. That's one of the shortest sermons I've preached in a while. But high impact, right?
Yeah.
Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for your love and your grace. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we pray, Lord, and ask your forgiveness for the times when we've walked around. We haven't gotten involved when maybe you called us to. And Lord, we just ask your forgiveness. And we pray, Lord, that you, by your Spirit, from this day forward, will make us the kind of people that will listen to your Spirit and obey your leading, and that we won't be the walk around. We'll be the ones that get involved and help people. We give you praise for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.